friends, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Welcome to this service as we celebrate our Lord's resurrection. He is risen indeed. Today is a double celebration as we also have communion. So if you need to pause this recording to prepare the elements of either bread or crackers and some wine or juice, go ahead and do that now. And we hear the land acknowledgement, remembering the stewardship of these lands by our First Nations neighbours. We are honoured to gather, serve and worship on the traditional and unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation, the traditional keepers of this land. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples and to honour their values and the land they have called home for thousands of years. We also pay our respects for and acknowledge the lives lost and the courage of the survivors of residential schools, and commit to support, advocate for, and contribute to the implementation of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. We are here as a congregation only because many faithful disciples have listened to Jesus' words. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Go and tell. Jesus has been raised. Let us come to worship filled with joy and wonder. In this moment of mystery, in this moment of hope, in this moment of life, loving God, open our hearts to the wonder. Open our senses to the possibilities. Open the tombs that we've created and show us that they are empty of what we've come to expect, but full of new possibilities. Alleluia! Let it be. Let's worship in prayer. Holy One, on this Easter morning, bring wisdom to our seeking. Move through this room until the walls echo with the sound of alleluias. Roll back the stones that might prevent us from drawing closer to you. Calm our hearts. Say our names. Awaken us to your presence in our midst. We are here. We are listening. And we are seeking after you. Alleluia. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the resurrected Christ reaches out to us in love and acceptance. Let us come to him in confidence, surrendering the things which keep us from being fully present with him in his kingdom. Let us pray. On this morning of surprises, we confess that we often prefer the safety of the tomb to the challenges of the resurrection. We cling to old ways, familiar fears and lingering doubts, hesitant to embrace the fullness of your new life. We have witnessed your love in Jesus, yet we still act as if death has the final word. Forgive us, loving God. Break open our hearts. Break open the tomb. Amen.
Let us hear together these words of grace. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven, loved, and made new. The tomb is empty. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Thanks be to God. Let us hear words of peace this morning and then share that same peace with each other. May peace settle in your bones. May peace calm your heart and mind. And may peace spill out from your hands to everyone you meet. The peace of Christ be with you.
The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. The English Standard Version. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Here at St. Stephen's United, we share three of the creeds that are the basis of our faith. Today's creed is from the oldest creed, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Every year, around the end of March, Ernie would put on his coat, grab his single-shot .22 Winchester, and tell his wife Oma he was going for a walk. To an outsider, it would look like Ernie was going hunting, maybe looking for one of the grouse that wintered down in the coulee, using the protection of the silver willows to elude the coyote and the fox that patrolled the area. And if he spotted the grouse, or maybe even a rabbit, well, he might take a shot. Oma had not yet announced the menu for the evening meal, so Ernie would keep his eyes open. But what Ernie was really looking for was the end of winter. The woodpile was getting low, the Saskatoons picked and canned in the fall were almost gone. The last of the moose meat packed in ice and placed in the root cellar last fall was almost gone. Winter had again taken its toll, too much snow, too much cold, too much isolation. So Ernie was going for a walk, going hunting for something he fondly remembered from the past. Something wonderful, something that Oma and he dared not talk about until the water started dripping from the icicles, until that first March melt. Ernie was looking for spring. And after that first melt, well, he walked every day through the poplar grove down to the coulee. Oma would watch through the window until Ernie reached the coulee. And if he didn't stop there but kept on going, well, Oma just went back to her sewing, knowing they'd have to wait another day. But eventually, every year it would happen. Ernie would stop at the coulee, lay the rifle to one side, roll a smoke, and watch, and then smile. Ernie would look at Ernie through the window and smile. And when Ernie returned and headed back to the house, Oma would get up on a chair, go over to the closet, get down her journal, and wait at the table for Ernie to come in with news of spring, news of the resurrection. As they drank their coffee with that wonderful canned, evaporated milk, he would describe what he saw so Oma could enter it into her book. March 23rd, 1929, water running in the coulee. March 29th, 1929, spotted a red-winged blackbird. Signs of resurrection. Winter was over, spring was on its way. I don't know if it happened exactly that way, but I have read my grandparents, Oma and Ernie's journal, and I have seen the entries that each year record the date water first ran in the coulee and the date my grandmother and grandfather sighted the first red-winged blackbird. Their annual journal and their annual story of spring resurrecting itself each year, their story of how running water and chirping birds defeated winter each spring. It has shaped and informed the way I look at another story I hear every Easter, the story of Mary and her experience of resurrection. Mary going to the place where her friend Jesus was buried, expecting to experience nothing but the coldness of a tomb, the winter of death. And then life happens. She experiences the presence of that which she has known in the past. That's the presence of her friend Jesus in a form that shouts resurrection and brings unimaginable joy to her heart. I've read the journals. I don't know if it happened exactly the way it was recorded by Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. They don't describe it exactly the same way, but they describe it. And I can imagine the way it felt for Mary. I can imagine the way it must have felt for others who experienced the presence of Christ after his death. Resurrection occurred and was recorded. The Jesus of the gospel stories is the Jesus of Christian tradition and experience. The Jesus who became alive in a storytelling church birthed after the resurrection. One of the modern biblical scholars, Marcus Borg, in his book Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time, writes, "Indeed, this seems to me to be the central meaning of Easter. Beginning with Easter, the early movement continued to experience Jesus as a living reality after his death, but in a radically new way. After Easter, his followers experienced him as a spiritual reality, no longer a person of flesh and blood, limited in time and space, as Jesus of Nazareth had been. Rather, Borg suggests Jesus as the risen, living Christ could be experienced anywhere. The experience was that in Jesus, the love of God was made known, and even when it seemed that love seemed to have been destroyed, they suddenly found that it wasn't like that, for suddenly there he was again. Two or three would gather, and there would be Jesus, experienced in some new yet familiar way." Borg suggests that what gives the resurrection story life is not the sighting of Jesus, but rather the experiencing of Jesus. I have not walked my grandparents' coulee since about the age of 9 or 10, but I've experienced it in many times in many different places. Just a few days ago, I saw the water was running in the coulee where my walking path runs along Brooklyn Creek in Courtney. I could see and hear the water running, and I believed I heard and saw a red-winged blackbird announcing spring in the willows that hide the creek, and I knew this winter was over, spring was on its way. I'm sure I experienced the same wonderful feeling as my grandparents did each and every year. Not that they saw the same bird every year, not that they heard the noise of the same water running, but they knew resurrection when they experienced it and when they felt it. And so do we. We experience resurrection, we experience Jesus, even if we can't see him. And not only at Easter. Pope Francis explained Easter hope this way: "We proclaim the resurrection of Jesus when his light illuminates the dark moments of our existence." There's a wonderful story of a man who had been visiting the Philippines, and it was time to leave, though, and as luck would have it, he was late getting to the airport. Clearing security took some extra time, and he joined the group of the last 3 or 4 people, all rushing towards the departure gate. As they rounded a corner, they bumped into a table where a young girl was selling her handmade trinkets. As a group, they bumped into the table, and everything went flying. And the group never slowed down, needing to get to the plane before it left, and suddenly, one man stopped, looked back at the mess they had made, looking at the plane waiting on the runway, and he made his choice. He returned to the young girl and said, "I'm sorry, I can't stay to help you clean up, but here's $100 in case I broke anything." The young girl stopped cleaning up for a moment, looked up at the man, smiled, and asked, "Are you Jesus?" She obviously didn't know what Jesus looked like, but she knew what it felt like to be in his presence. Easter isn't about seeing Jesus, it's about knowing what it feels like to be in his presence. Easter isn't about seeing Jesus, it's about the faithful sharing of our gospel story. It's about resurrecting the story of Jesus with our words and with our actions. It's about followers acting as the physical hands, feet, and heart of Jesus, continuing his ministry. It's about risking ourselves to the extent that someone might ask us, Are you Jesus? It's about our actions that will bring spring to the lives of people who have seen just a bit too much winter in their lives. Actions through which people will experience the risen Christ, people who will be able to record their own version of water running in the coulees and red-winged blackbirds singing on a cold winter afternoon. And they will pass the story down from generation to generation, and they will join others in declaring, "Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed." Happy Easter, everyone. Happy Easter indeed. Amen.
Crown him with many crowns.
Let us pray. We feel so blessed that you are our anchor in every situation, and we thank you for that. May we each recognize that need as we move through the day. Help each one of us this day to pause and reflect on the joy that Jesus is alive in a new way and that we too can celebrate this new life. Hallelujah. We all can celebrate in various ways. And when we are alone this day, we can remember positive memories of past celebrations, both as adults and as children. We can celebrate the glorious beauty of spring flowers and bushes, as well as the brilliant spring colors of birds that are preparing for new families. For some, there is a preparation of Easter breads and meals and the opportunity to spend time with friends and family. May those that are in this direction share the movement of the Holy Spirit between members of whoever are getting together with laughter and peace and harmony. We pray this day for the folk that are caught in the middle of war, in the Gaza, Iran, the countries surrounding and including Israel and Jordan. May they have a day of peace and sufficient nourishment. May those folk in the Sudan also experience days of peace without fear, and that people of the world realize how difficult their situation is and move to remedy it. We pray also that the leaders of municipal, provincial, and federal governments take the time they need to ponder and make decisions in a fair way for the population that they are leading. We pray that caregivers be given the energy they need to provide the care to those that rely on them for basic sustenance, clean clothing, and the compassion that their suffering folk need in their daily life. We pray for those who are grieving and find days of celebration difficult. Help them to adapt in a way that offers new and different life, which includes peace in the midst of sorrow. May they open their hearts to the comfort of God that wraps around them in their loss. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Welcome to our table. At this church, all are invited to the table. All are entitled to partake of the bread and the wine. Let us begin with thanksgiving. The Holy One is here. God's Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts, we lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to God. It is right to offer thanks and praise. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. All who come to me shall not hunger, and all who believe in me shall not thirst. With Christians around the world and throughout the centuries, we gather around these symbols of bread and wine, the simple elements that speak of nourishment and transformation. Let us pray together. Loving God, we thank you that you are as close to us as breath, that your love is constant and unfailing. We thank you for all that sustains life, and especially for Jesus Christ, who teaches us how to live out an ethic of justice and peace, and for the promise of transformation made manifest in his life, death, and resurrection. We ask you to bless this bread and bless this cup through this meal, make us the body of Christ, that we may join with you in promoting the well-being of all creation. Amen. We remember on the night when Jesus and his disciples had their last meal together, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you." In the symbol of the broken bread, we participate in the life of Christ and dedicate ourselves to being his disciples. And in the same way, he took the cup, and giving thanks, he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This cup is the new covenant poured out for you and for many. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." In the symbol of the cup, we participate in the new life Christ brings. Come, let us share this meal together. All who seek to be in relationship with Jesus are welcome to eat and drink, those who have accepted their call and those who are curious about it, those who have been on the journey for years and those who have just started. All are welcome at this table, for it is not our table, but God's table. Let us join together in the prayer taught to us by Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come.
We bless you, O God, for the gifts of bread and the cup, for sustaining us in hope every day of our lives. We pray for your strength to prepare us now for your service as we offer to you lives of witness and worship in the world you have made. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Giving thanks for all that God has provided for us, we give back a portion for the care of his people and the building of his kingdom. Let's pray the offertory prayer. We do give you thanks, God of all creation, for the gifts in our hands and the gifts in our hearts. Help us to use all that we have to share your life in all of its abundance everywhere in your world. Amen. Friends, I have one announcement for you today. On April 19th, Bruce Feltham and some friends of his is going to be leading a gospel sing here in the sanctuary. April the 19th, 7 p.m. in the evening. It'll still be light out, so you can still get here. We hope you can make it. There will be refreshments in the hall afterwards. Bring a friend and have a jolly good sing-along. It's such fun.
As we prepare to go into the world, let us hear words of blessing. The God of yesterday and the God of tomorrow knows you by your name, loves you, and calls you forth, saying, "Go be the person you are called to be. Love wildly, do justice, and come back soon." Jesus Christ is risen. You are known. You are loved. You are enough.